This is Focus West Michigan for Wednesday, March 4, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Grand Rapids has selected a developer to build a solar array at the former Butterworth landfill site. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
So this is the next step in what's been a 10-plus year process to see if we can get solar power installed at the Butterworth landfill.
That's Assistant City Manager Doug Matthews speaking with Grand Rapids Fiscal Committee.
So at this point, we're looking at a power purchase agreement. Under a power purchase agreement, the developer owns and operates the facility, and we pay for the power that's generated.
Ohio-based Enerlogix Network, Inc. will construct the 2-megawatt solar array on the former Butterworth landfill site. The generated electricity will power 18,000 streetlights, traffic signals, and 100 facilities.
We feel like this is an opportunity to leverage that site, generate power locally, and fulfill one of the things that we have on our climate action plan,
which includes reducing greenhouse gas emissions by 85% by 2030 and reaching 100% by 2040. Construction will begin by July 4th, securing federal tax credits before they expire. The project is expected to take 12 to 18 months. I'm David Limbaugh.
Grand Rapids is launching a redesigned city website, moving toward a more modern, user-friendly digital experience. WGVU's Dee Morrison has the details.
The city website at grandrapidsmi.gov has shifted from a department-based layout to a service-based structure, with prominent icons allowing users to quickly make payments, report issues, and access services.
We're thinking of it as intuitive. Like, you know, when you want to pay a parking ticket, you just want to pay a parking ticket. You don't really care what office in the city gets it. You just want to pay it or challenge it, probably in most people's cases.
Communications Director David Green says the redesign is more adaptable and optimizes AI.
On like search engines and so forth, you're getting AI summaries. And so we wanted to make sure that that information was not just accurate, but it was able to pull that information easily from our site so that we can become that trusted source.
The website redesign includes an events calendar, a dedicated news section for local activities, and allows for department subscriptions. Green encourages users to make recommendations.
We really are trying to adopt a continuous improvement philosophy with this site. So instead of tearing the site down and rebuilding it every few years, we're going to be optimizing and improving it based on user feedback as we go.
Green says the site is powered by an improved, lower-cost content management system. I'm Dee Morrison.
Following a rash of gun violence in recent weeks, Muskegon Heights city leaders are confronting the problem, hosting a community town hall. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
Our purpose is to try to get leadership and regular residents all in one room to address some of the most immediate issues and needs that we're facing as a city here in Muskegon Heights.
Muskegon Heights Councilman William Kitchen III is hosting the event.
We're not doing a great job as leadership with providing programs and alternatives for our young people to give them a different way to approach this world.
On Tuesday, one person was killed and another injured in 2 separate shootings. Last week, 5 shootings in 3 days culminated in the death of a 15-year-old, prompting community leaders to organize the town hall. Kitchen said the goal is to bridge the gap between residents and community leaders and start working towards solutions.
We have not done a great job in making sure that we have the apparatus in place that would give them alternatives to not just jobs, but to housing, to mental health access.
The Muskegon Police Department says the shootings are targeted. They have increased patrols in affected areas, but say they can't solve the cases without community cooperation. The town hall will take place Thursday, March 5th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Muskegon Heights City Hall. I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up soon, another edition of our Crane's Grand Rapids Business Brief, but first, news from around the state. The Republican-controlled State House adopted a bill on Tuesday to give the legislature the final word on changes to the state's formal guidance to schools on meeting education standards. We have more from Rick Pluta.
The bill is partially in response to the Michigan State Board of Education's approval last year of new guidance on instructing students about gender identity and sexual orientation. Republican Representative Gina Johnson is the bill's sponsor.
We need to make sure that there's one more check, that the people of Michigan are represented for what their children are going to be taught in school.
Representative Matt Colazar is a Democrat on the House Education and Workforce Committee. He says the legislature should not have veto power over expert advice to local schools.
All this bill would do is further politicize our schools.
The bill now goes to the state Senate, where the Democratic leader says she's not interested in taking it up. I'm Rick Pluta in Lansing.
On Tuesday, the Michigan House approved a more than $150 million spending bill to work on runways at Michigan's Selfridge Air National Guard Base. Colin Jackson has more.
The base is expecting federally funded construction to support a new fighter mission that President Donald Trump announced last year. Republican Michigan House Speaker Matt Hall says he fears that mission won't actually happen if the work isn't done before Trump leaves office.
Under the original plan, they were going to fund the runway. But we've asked for this more accelerated timeline, and the president's agreed to it. And so what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to get that $152 million.
But Democratic Senate Appropriations Chair Sarah Anthony says that's news to her.
We've had no conversations with the House. We've had no correspondence from the federal government.
Anthony says she wants to see lawmakers focus more on how to address a projected budget shortfall in Michigan. I'm Colin Jackson at the Capitol.
A lawsuit filed against Kalamazoo Public Schools claims the district failed to prevent and properly investigate sex and gender-based harassment of a non-binary student at Loy Norix High School in 2023. According to court filings, the student, referred to as Jane Doe, was bullied and assaulted by a group of schoolmates because of their identity. Eric Delaporte is an attorney with Delaporte Law, the firm behind the lawsuit. He says, to his knowledge, the school never disciplined Doe's bullies, instead suspending Doe.
The school district in this particular case failed miserably at protecting this student. And instead of taking responsibility and ensuring that any missteps were fixed, they've really gone on the offensive against the student.
Delaporte also alleges that KPS failed to take proper steps when Doe and their mother filed a Title IX complaint. KPS declined to comment on the case. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support the show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. This afternoon in our Cranes Grand Rapids Business Brief, WGVU's Patrick Center talks with Cranes staff writer Mark Sanchez about Blue Cross cutting its losses and Wolverine Worldwide turning around the shoe and boot business under new leadership. But first, a Republican plan to expand the state's sales tax to include services is receiving pushback from some industries.
It's an election year, a gubernatorial election, legislative elections, and whenever you have an election year like this, you get tax proposals from the candidates and from various office holders who everybody wants to talk taxes. And that's the conversation that arose last week with a proposal from a Republican Speaker of the House, Matt Hall. He's proposing to expand the state's 6% sales tax to certain services and sectors as part of a property tax cut he also proposes. And he's getting some pushback from the big business groups and business advocates in Lansing, including the influential Michigan Chamber of Commerce that has a lot of questions about this proposal. Specifically, he's talking about taxing limousines, country club memberships, private jets, marinas, tourist services, travel agencies, skiing, golf, artificial intelligence services, newspaper publishing, arts, environmental consulting, political ads, and just a whole litany of services that he would apply the 6% sales tax to. And basically, he's also looking at pulling back the property tax, providing some property tax relief, and that would shift about $5 billion in state revenue onto a new sales tax for services. And in a story my colleague here at Cranes did, Dave Eggert, he's our capital correspondent in Lansing, talked to some of the business groups, and they have a lot of questions. Again, the Michigan Chamber of Commerce is saying, okay, how is this going to work? We'd like to see some of this. They're not big on this idea of applying the sales tax to services. It's never been there. And Matt Hall, the Speaker of the House, he's also calling for electric utilities to cut their rates by $1 billion in exchange for eliminating the personal property tax on machinery, computers, furniture, tools, and equipment and supplies. It's a significant proposal. It'll get some conversation in Lansing as the political season and the election season ramps up the spring, summer, and toward the fall. But right now, it's an idea that's out there. And we've also seen the governor recently in her budget proposal for the next fiscal year propose some higher sin taxes. So taxes is on the agenda in Lansing this year as we head to that November election.
Does he lay out the criteria for what is and what is not a service?
That's always been one of those things. What's the service? What's the good? What's this? That's something that's going to all get defined in the upcoming debate over this. Exactly who should qualify for having this tax applied, who should not. Everybody's going to stake out their position and they're going to debate it. Presuming it even goes forward, there have been ideas floated in the past in history in Michigan of taxing services and they've gone nowhere. But again, this is the Speaker of the House proposing this, so you have to believe he's at least going to get it into a committee hearing in the House. And also, I'll just say that some of the other business organizations in Lansing, the Small Business Association, Restaurant and Lodging Association, the Grand Rapids and Detroit Chambers of Commerce, they're not taking positions on this proposal just yet, except to say they'd like to hear some specifics, and then they can talk to their members about how it could affect their business.
Mark, I don't think we've made it through a business brief conversation without touching on healthcare in some form or fashion. And we're seeing Blue Cross has reduced some of its losses under massive cost-cutting programs, but the cost keeps going up.
Yeah, without a doubt. And you know, when you say some form or fashion, I always say healthcare should be an issue to two types of people, those who pay a payroll or those who are on a payroll. And you know, for 30 plus years, we've seen these prices just and costs just continue to escalate. That takes a bite out of a lot of things. And, you know, the insurers, health insurers, their medical claims keep going up. So therefore, the rates keep going up. Last year in 2024, Blue Cross Blue Shield lost more than $1 billion on writing health policies. In 2025, it cut that loss dramatically down. They only lost $246 million on revenue of $43.3 billion. And that came after cutting about $420 million in administrative costs. So bottom line for Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, which is the largest health insurer in the state, has about a two-thirds market share, significantly cut the loss, but it's still a loss. And Blue Cross Blue Shield is going to have to make that up somewhere, just like any company. When you sustain a loss and you've had repeated losses, you have to make it up somewhere, whether that's cutting costs or raising prices. And we know what the insurance premiums have been doing for a number of years now. We're second, third year in a row this year. We had double-digit average increases across the state. We won't know the effects of this until May. That's when the health plans have to file their insurance rates for 2027 with the state regulators. So we'll see some of those filings in mid-May. We'll see their explanation and how these costs, these medical claims, especially for pharmaceuticals, for hospitalizations, you know, we're getting older. We're an aging population that consumes a lot of healthcare. So we'll see how this bottom line for Blue Cross Blue Shield in 2025, how would that affect their rates going forward?
It's always about the trend line.
It's always about the trend line. You know, you try to keep that trend line in the positive area. But like I said, everybody who pays a payroll or has health insurance through their employer, you know exactly what's been going on with rates for a number of years now. And the costs keep going up. The hospitals, health systems, they're having higher costs. They have to reflect that in the rates they charge, and they negotiate the rates with the insurance companies. You know, it's a complex, complicated system on how it all works out financially. But bottom line, the biggest health insurer in Michigan lost money again last year. In a few months, we'll find out how that affects rates going forward.
We're talking with Crane's Grand Rapids business staff writer Mark Sanchez. You've written a piece on Wolverine Worldwide. We're seeing sales growth, and this is what you've described as a turnaround story.
It really is. You know, I'd sat down a little more than a year ago with Chris Huffnagel. He's the CEO there at Wolverine Worldwide based in Rockford. And this is a 140-plus-year-old corporation, one of these iconic West Michigan companies that's been around for generations. You know, rewind a few years ago, the company was having a tough time. It had heavy debt, had a cost structure that was not supported by sales. It had just a number of issues coming on. Chris Huffnagel came in as a new CEO that the directors brought him in. He started a kind of restructuring turnaround plan, and it's made some good progress. They've fixed a lot of the issues, and basically in 2025, Wolverine Worldwide grew sales globally 7.1% to $1.87 billion. And really had some nice growth in some of the brands, what's known as the Active Group brand. That includes the Merrell and Saucony footwear brands. They had some nice double-digit sales increases. On the downside, well, the Sweaty Betty brand, that's a UK-based brand, and the Work Group brand, that includes the Wolverine work boots, they need a little more work. They had some sales declines. And so sat down with Chris and just talked about the status of the turnaround plan. and where they're going. He says he's happy that the two biggest brands are back to growth and doing well, but remains unsatisfied overall with the business. These two other brands, they need to get back to growth, and that's the focus for 2026. So again, bottom line, as we like to focus on as a business publication, company's going in the right direction, has largely fixed some of the issues that were plaguing the company a few years ago. Still has more work to do.
Does he mention anything aspirational, anything he wants to accomplish in the next 2 to 3 years?
It's basically just get those two brands back to growth, the Sweaty Betty and the Work Group brand with the Wolverine boots. Just get them back to growing sales again and reestablishing those brands. You know, the Wolverine, we talked about this some time ago. He said increased marketing, increased promotion should help. Remember, a number of months back, we talked about how the Wolverine brand was a sponsor of the TV show Landman about the oil wildcatters in West Texas. Says that's got millions of views of the product and product placement in the program. So that's really the focus, is continuing. A lot of what was ill was fixed, but there are still two brands that need to get picked up and get back to growth again. And that's really the focus right now.
Cranes Grand Rapids business staff writer Mark Sanchez, thank you so much.
Thank you, Patrick.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Wednesday, March 4, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.